ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to We're Gonna Need a Bigger Show, episode 50!
T-T-T-T-T-T!
You just wanted to do that. That's why you...
That's why I insisted that we...
Stop the podcast, because we had already started recording, yes. Go back, and make sure we had the 50th episode.
Yes.
So it's not as, like, a big deal as we thought it was.
It's a big deal.
We made it to... there's a lot more than 50, but number-wise, this is 50.
Yes. The number incredible. Of episodes, it's 50, yes.
And it is the second annual Biggie Awards!
Yes.
Holy shit.
Fluffs and snubs.
No?
No.
That's two bad things.
Yeah. Well,
there's going to be some bad things.
There's probably going to be lots of bad things.
Flubs and snubs in good movies.
Kittens on the Keys after Four-Way Headbutt? I think it was.
I think it was.
I don't recall.
Because it was hot.
I'm sorry, you don't recall.
I am happy to say that joining us again, also on our first Biggie Awards... All the way from New York, we have...
Spencer.
Spencer
Von... Cantrell!
Spencer Von Cantrell joining us again.
Yeah, good to be here.
Good to have you.
When you said New York, I just wanted to do Saturday Night Live intro.
Yeah.
Spencer Cantrell!
Yes.
Live from West Harlem.
Yes. And joining us, our producer...
Ashley Gaskin.
Ashley Gaskin. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, man.
Hanging in there.
Sometimes that's all you can say.
That's the best we can hope for right now at the end of December. Just get me into 2015. That's all I fucking need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're almost there.
Something I noticed now that we're back on iTunes and everyone should go subscribe, rate, and review is that we're explicit now and we weren't before.
Yeah, they just knew, I guess. Or maybe that's what I put when I...
I think you probably picked that.
Yeah.
Hey,
buddy.
Oh, hi.
Oh, special guest star, Chris Ott.
And groceries.
And Valerie Burns! that we're explicit now on iTunes. I think you probably... I mean, you're right, but I mean, I don't think we're overly explicit.
It's quite explicit, my friend.
It's all right. It's explicit. You're right. You're right. I can't argue. Well, good. We're here together.
Mm-hmm. Once again.
I'm pretty excited. Cameron, how was your holiday?
Pretty good. I've got that holiday malaise from eating way too many sweets.
Delicious treats.
That's why I brought some of this fudge here, because if we eat it all, I'm going to die.
I'm not going to eat this big piece, but I am going to eat another piece of fudge.
Okay.
I have been tearing this fudge up. Like I thought I would.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that was.
Me neither. Let's move on. Just never speak of it again.
Oh.
I'm just piling up dessert pieces on top of my coffee.
Eat them all.
Yep.
I'm gonna. Eat all the desserts.
Mm-hmm.
Are we just going to dive in?
I mean, we can.
Yeah.
Did you get anything good for Christmas before we dive in?
I think the one I was telling you, the one I'm getting the most use out of, which has nothing to do with 2014 and more with 2013, is BioShock Infinite, the complete edition.
Let's just get this out of the way. BioShock Infinite is still the best game of 2014.
Yes. The lasting impact of, multiple playthroughs of that game.
Across the board.
Yes.
Sorry, I have a fudgy mouth right now.
Yeah, you do.
50 episodes. How the fuck do we make it this far?
I don't know. This kind of humor? I'm not even sure we're going to make it through this one, to be honest.
Probably not.
How about you?
Me?
Anything amazing?
I got a Blu-ray player, dude.
Yeah.
A new one.
Mm-hmm.
That streams and Blu-rays and USBs.
Oh, you also just handed me the shirt that says Finkel on the back.
Finkel number 5.
Yes.
Ray Finkel.
Finkel is Einhorn, Einhorn is Finkel.
That's all you need to know.
Yes.
And you got me this wonderful little Ash pop vinyl figure.
Hey, buddy.
So now I have two pop vinyl figures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got the other one for Christmas as well. It's a dangerous collection to start. Because they're not, like, super cheap. They're not ungodly.
They're like $8 to $10 per, I think.
But... They have them for everything.
Right.
Like, I'm sure I can find a Spencer Cantrell pop vinyl.
Please do.
I'm going to make
one. If we can commission that, I need it.
He just has a little slice of pizza in one hand and a cup of coffee in the other.
And he's made out of peppermint bark.
Yeah.
You have to eat your own pop vinyl.
I would if it was peppermint bark. Notice the peppermint bark is not on the table. It's down by me.
Yeah, I put it there because I know you're going to eat it. Well, good. Let's jump in.
Yep.
Let's just fucking do it.
Let's go for it and not apologize.
Mm-hmm. I won't. I'm done apologizing.
Yeah, good.
2015 is going to be the year of not fucking apologizing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good.
I don't know. You want to start with best? Where do you want
to
start?
Hard to say. What do you guys think?
I'll pick one.
Yeah. Okay. Go for it.
Best music. Let's start there.
All right, then.
Best and worst music.
I think we should do this, and because film should be last, because I think we'll all have way more opinions on that anyway.
Man, Spencer, you and Ashley are kind of our resident music folks in terms of keeping up with the trends.
What the kids are listening to?
Yeah, me and Old Man Cam. Old Man Mike and Old Man Cam. I've been saying a lot of old man shit lately. Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you, brother.
Yep, get off my lawn.
It's the holiday season.
I mean, brings out the old man.
I'm telling you, man, the sugar gets you all off balance, and I get
logy.
Cranky.
You get a little cranky.
Yeah. When I've had too much sugar.
All right, enough old man shit. Yeah. Let's talk about music. Best music of the year, Spencer.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I, like, in terms of current trends, because I just looked through, you know, I mean, I don't know that this counts exactly, but I did just look through Pitchfork's, you know, best subs and whatever, and I realized, maybe I'm getting a little older. Mm-hmm. A little.
Right.
I don't know. It's weird. But then I think part of it's just me being lazy. But I will say, for me, I mean, top album of the year, easily, easily is the newest Against Me album.
Yes.
Transgender Dysphoria Blues.
I am right there with you. That's my top of the year.
I mean, that album stayed in my car for a solid 2 months, just on repeat.
There's not one song on that whole thing that isn't just perfect.
It's just about an hour, right? Mm-hmm. It's around an hour.
I think it's 10 tracks.
10 tracks. I mean, it's lean, but fuck. Like, every track on that album is just as powerful as the last.
Well, I remember I noticed this on my Tumblr the other day, like, the first time I shared something about it was, I think it was maybe, I don't know, so some online music blog that had posted Black Me Out for the first time, because that was the first single to get released, and the headline of the album, or, like, the headline of the thing was, I think it was, did I share this with you? It was like, Against Me's back with a new album, and who, boy, is this one a motherfucker?
Yeah.
And indeed it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a powerful piece.
It's kind of sad with me all year, too, because I got to meet her.
Yeah.
I got to meet Laura Jane Grace in Chattanooga in July, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And I've never got a photo with her, and I've never looked more ridiculously just ecstatically happy. Mm. Like, a child, like, in this photo with Laura Jane Grace's arms around me. So that's my year in music, is that photo.
Summed up.
Yeah, that's one. I want to go back and forth, because what are you thinking right now?
It's funny that you said, you know, that photo was your year for 2014, and Frank Iero and The Celebration released their album, their first release this year. And so I got to see them and meet one of my teen angsty idols.
still kind of.
Yeah, yeah. From My Chemical Romance.
Formerly.
So there's that. Yeah. Formerly.
How's that album? I haven't listened to it. I listened to one track you sent me, and I really liked it.
Yeah. Well, there's something about the videos that they've been doing along with their singles that just blow me away.
I was thinking that, too. Like, I feel like the cool thing about what Frank's been doing is that it's all this package stuff.
Yeah.
Like, which I actually, you know, now that I look back, he was always doing stuff like that, but I was just totally not paying attention.
Right. Just kind of oblivious to it.
I think that speaks to a bigger trend in media that's happening to package and to do things a little bit differently.
Yeah.
I mean, the same could be said of a film right now, but we'll talk a little bit about that too.
For sure. I want to also mention, I wanted to mention Gerard Way's album, but I hate to just yank on former MCR forever, because poor Mike here.
Hey, I mean, yeah. I wasn't big into them, but I appreciated them.
Yeah,
you know, for what they were. So
Gerard's new album's cool. I didn't think it would be, but it's cool.
It's cool.
It's really cool. And there's that. I think the only thing that might have closely tied the new Against Me for me is Licky Lee's new album. It's a me thing. Really good. It is a breakup album like no other breakup album that I've ever heard. And it's just ache. Like,
the whole album.
Oh my gosh. And, you know, you just swim in it.
Swimming in the ache. I did play bass for Swimming in the Ache.
And then similarly...
Before you ask.
Right. Similarly, I feel like I consummated my relationship with that album by seeing her at Radio City Music Hall.
What an incredible venue and to just, see anything at.
Yeah. I think it was sold out, too. And, I mean, yeah. It's been a good year for music for me.
Awesome. Cameron?
Let's kick it over there.
You got anything?
Yeah. No.
No?
Well, it's funny because over the Christmas break, I visited some friends I hadn't seen in a while, and part of our thing is always talking about, well, what have you been listening to lately? And they've got, oh, this and this and this and this. And I'm like, yeah, I've been just kind of listening to podcasts lately.
Yeah.
And that's really the truth. I mean, most of the time, if I'm in the car for 5 minutes or less, it's generally Jack FM, which is just old pop music, or public radio.
Right.
And if it's longer than that, it's podcasts. So it's as much
the same way.
As much as I am into music and have always been my entire life, I've stopped keeping up with current stuff.
Right.
I don't really know what to say about it other than that's just kind of the way it's evolved.
Right.
It's kind of sad, but you know.
No, I mean that's normal. The only other like big music thing that I like stuck with me and I will love forever, Uptown Funk, Mark Ronson, Bruno
Mars. Gonna give it to you.
Okay.
I don't care. I don't care that you don't like it.
No, I don't know if I've watched the entire video, but I watched most of it, and I was like, this is fun.
I
want to
live in that music video in the worst way. It's just like old Prince, old Parliament Funkadelic. I can get down on that.
Fedoras and bandanas.
Yeah, I have a chip on my shoulder about Bruno Mars, and I'm not actually sure where it originated, but...
Well,
I want to hear more about this,
probably
actually.
Probably get over it. Part of it's probably fedoras and that kind of just...
Aesthetic?
Pop aesthetic.
See, but I, you know, most...
I feel like it's like what my mom works out to.
That's fine. Again, 2015, I'm done apologizing. I'm not going to apologize for the things I like anymore. And this was a big
one.
Were you
ever doing that?
Yeah. Oh,
really? You did that?
We all apologize for the shit we like.
I did earlier.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's the thing. It's like, no, I want it to be in such a way that if I ever do, like, any premiere that we have, or if I go and I teach a class anywhere, I don't want anything but to, like, that's my entrance music.
Okay.
From now on.
Uptown Funk?
Uptown Funk.
Yep.
It fills me with fire. Worst music. In
well, I get. I do want to mention that even though I didn't listen to all of it or go out of my way to, I just appreciated the fact that Weird Al was back in 2014.
Yeah,
and that's
the
some
videos
success.
For sure.
The Tacky video was incredible.
Yeah,
Tacky was great. The Foil one, is that what it's called?
Foil. Yeah,
that takes the turn.
Yeah, where it gets real weird and creepy. I thought the videos were great. I'm over that music, but I thought the videos were really fun.
I just really appreciate Al Yankovic, and he's, you know, talking about podcasts, just hearing him as a, I guess, a
human being.
Well, as a human being, but also as a improv performer. He's a hilarious dude.
Yeah.
Like, more than I gave him credit for, because I kind of left him in my childhood, and I'm he's a goofball.
Were you listening to him on Comedy Bang Bang?
Comedy Bang Bang, Nerdist, a few other things. Yeah. And he was on At Midnight a few different times. He was really good on that, too, so, yeah.
Worst music? I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
I know
there's
a lot of
stuff I didn't like, but... Nickelback came out with a few things. Foo Fighters' new album is dog
shit.
That was
the biggest disappointment for me.
Yeah,
because I was looking forward to it.
I don't know what to say about Foo Fighters anymore because I have such a appreciation for Dave Grohl and have for the past 15 years.
But that doesn't excuse
no,
bad music.
What I'm saying is that I feel like ever since 1999, Foo Fighters have been putting out mediocre music. I don't feel like anything they've put out in the last long time is really as good as they could have done.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I just feel like the side projects that Dave Grohl's involved in, like Probot or Queens of the Stone Age or Them Crooked Vultures, is so much better than Foo Fighters.
Right.
And so much more edgy and, like...
I could agree with that.
Has something to say. Whereas Foo Fighters just feels like more of the same. More just like... I mean, it's hard pop, but it's still pop.
Yeah.
And it's really boring pop.
Yeah.
So well, this was... Because I didn't think that for a long time. Because I think... I mean, I'm just younger. So I got into them, like, mid-2000s. And then listened back, obviously. But I had a friend... My friend Jordan shared an article about, like... kind of just going through their albums since about that time, and I was like, oh, wow, she is really mediocre.
Turns out.
And boring.
Yeah.
And kind of cheesy, like, lyrically. When you, like, if you think about it...
Yeah,
like,
because, yeah, I mean, yeah, I remember a couple of years ago, you know, listening to their last album, and if I listen to it now, and I'll be singing along to it, and I'll be like, what did he just say?
What's your... Whereas I feel like the first two albums, they're way more, lyrically anyway, way more abstract and potentially interesting.
Sure.
Whereas, you know, the bass, the bass, the bass, the bass, not so much. So
that's my favorite thing that's ever happened. I wish I had a gif of that. Just unbelievable.
Can we cut that out and be my bass text tone, please?
Yeah. Let's move on. What do you think? Anybody else speak now?
Dave, if you're... No.
If you're listening, come on the show.
Anything Ariana Grande or whatever has done, I probably hate it.
Igloo Australia. I hate everything she's done.
I didn't like Kanye West's new album.
I thought it was
really boring.
Yeah.
I also thought Imogen Heap actually finally album released all of those Heap song things. And I like a lot of those individually, but I just it's starting to make me think that she needs to have someone help her stagger releases, because it just gets, like, stupid. And she actually needs a little bit of music industry tradition, I think. That's my thing.
Good.
All in all, good music year, I think, actually.
Oh, and something you and I were talking about earlier. You want to talk about that?
No.
But you're gonna.
I don't want to talk about it. I want to mention it. It's just you two.
Ugh.
I don't even know what to say about it.
Just cramming their way into our lives. And that's coming from somebody who, like, used to want to get a U2 tattoo.
Yeah. Which album cover?
War.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
I think so.
I pushed it all out of my head a little bit.
Wow.
That's funny. The kid with the busted lip and the helmet one, but, like, full on with the big eyes.
Yeah, I think that's War.
I just always thought that'd be a cool black and gray portrait tattoo, and it would be still, were it not for... this band.
Right. Yeah. What a bummer. Yeah. That was just kind of, I don't know. I can't think of any band where I would be okay with them doing that. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, make it an option.
The Beach Boys.
I'm going to slap you in the face today. So fuck you two. Happy 2014.
See you on the flip flop.
See you on the flip flop. Reading. I did a little bit of that this year. More than I ever have in my life. Now, that's not true. I mean, I read a lot, but I fell out of it for a really long time just because I watched a lot more movies, play a lot more games. But since I got my iPad, and this is kind of blasphemy for all my book fans out there, but physical media, but I blow through books on the iPad. Yeah. I mean, I fucking just blow through them. So I read a lot this year. I read a lot of comic books this year, and there's some... Well, the great thing about comic books and graphic novels, it's just becoming such a literary medium now, you know, like...
Yeah, and somebody recently showed me, like, some free download she got of a comic book, and it went panel by panel.
See, I read full page. The app I have can do panel by panel. I still prefer to read full page.
I think that's cool, because I have a really bad habit of... I do this with books, too. Like, just reading accidentally on purpose reading the last sentence or looking at the last panel.
Right.
And of course, if you're looking at, you know, your top left and then there's a big splash page right there, then you've just ruined.
Yeah.
I do that to myself all the time.
Well, see, that happens to me, But what inevitably ends up happening, I'll see it, but then filling in the blanks of what led up to that, even if it is just three or four panels, mm-hmm. is still really worth it. Mm-hmm. So in terms of good stuff that I read this year, books, Dr. Sleep, I read that at the very beginning of the year, The Shining sequel. I think it came out at the end of last year, but I got it at the beginning of this year. Mm-hmm. I loved it, thought it was really great. Great follow-up to The Shining to see what Danny's doing. The Disaster Artist was by far the best book I read this year.
About The Room.
The Making of The Room, written by Greg Sestros, who mm-hmm. plays Mark in The Room. That was incredible. I think everyone, if you have a passing interest in film at all, everyone should read that book. Mm. If you are a fan of The Room for whatever reason, it's worth it. If you're a fan of the business, you know, anything, I mean, it's totally worth it. As an actor, as a director, everyone should read that book. Because it's just so bizarre. Like, just the story and how that movie came to be, just everything about it. And hopefully we'll be able to kind of dive into The Disaster Artist a little bit further on in 2015. But for now, It was a wild fucking ride from, like, top to bottom, and I loved it. I love that book.
Borrow it.
Yeah. No, I've got a digital copy.
No.
But I can send it to you.
No. Okay.
Also, comics. I got into, like, a lot of non-superhero stuff this year. I'm reading a great series called Southern Bastards. That's kind of Walking Tall. You think it starts off very much like Walking Tall, and where the series is right now is very different. Mm. But it's a Southern revenge story, and it's really, really good. Reading a book called Outcast. That's same guys, Kirkman, who did Walking Dead. It's a demonic possession book that's out of this world. And Witches is another great book. So any of my comic fans out there, those are like my top books this year. Top comics for sure.
Cool.
Who else? Who's got some reading stuff? Some reading things. Ashley didn't read it all this year.
Didn't read any books.
Internet articles, that's about it.
Yeah, but I mean, even then, I mean, who's
one
putting
of
out...
One of mine is going to be an internet article, so feel free.
Interviews, articles, put them out there. Because when I sent you all the lists, I was like, take that however you want to. So anything you read this year.
There's actually a really good, I hate that it's from BuzzFeed, but there was a really great interview with Ryan Adams that was just really in-depth about, like, this past recording process and how, you know, he did it on his own with
Oh, that Sam. Album.
Yeah.
That album was, we didn't talk about that.
We didn't, holy shit.
Fucking
yeah.
Ryan Adams' new album
was
incredible.
Yeah, it was self-titled, it was, yeah, no, there's not a track on there that I don't enjoy.
There's a few that I don't, but I did really enjoy the album.
Yeah.
But that interview you're talking about is, or the making of... Yeah. Article is really, really good.
Yeah, they go pretty in-depth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spencer?
Yeah, so, I mean, I read a lot of things. I will say, just to echo you, I've really gotten into reading on my iPad.
Yes.
Which I just never thought I would do. It's kind of like e-cigs. I thought it would never happen. But here we are, in a cloud of vape.
Everywhere at all
every
times.
Party there's one lone douchebag vaping blowing smoke inside
and you just lost
in
half
someone
your
in some yeah in someone's face oh
and
man
some of
really
them some of them are cool too I guess and they wear trench coats and,
oh woo. God
oh lord yeah. Anyway
we're just alienating left right now.
So, what trench coat people
I think both
I'm okay with it
so one of my one of the ones that I read this year most of, actually didn't read this whole thing, but I read most of, was when Google met WikiLeaks, which is the, kind of the narrative account of, is Assange just kind of telling the story of meeting Schmidt, uh-huh. the CEO, and, like, talking about his connections to weapons people and State Department people.
Oh, wow.
And it was just really fascinating, kind of pulling a part of that whole clique,
meeting, right,
I guess,
yeah, yeah.
You know, it was really interesting. I guess he's got a lot of time on his hands. He's kind of stuck.
Sitting in
poor
a room.
Guy. Merry Christmas, Julian Assange.
One of our top listeners.
One of the right, yeah. One of the one
he,
book.
He
that
smokes
I,
e-cigs though, so he's out now
in trench coats. Jesus.
Sorry.
One of my actual one book that I actually did buy and really enjoyed this year was the Guardian published a set of letters that Slavoj Žižek was writing to Nadia from Pussy Riot when she was in prison. And I remember reading a couple of them, like, as The Guardian was publishing them, but they made a book out of it.
Is it
like the full correspondence. It's called Comradely Greetings. It's really good. And the just like the book itself, like the pack, like the thing, it means it's like a little devotional.
Right.
Almost. It's really cool. I read that kind of for over 2 weeks, and it was a good 2 weeks. And then the other thing I'll mention is, so I saw a tweet, I guess it was from a union student who was in Cornell West's, I want to say his, I don't think it was his Heschel class, I don't know, well, it was some African-American theology class that he was leading, and it had tweeted that Questlove had just walked in,
like, oh, wow.
And sat in the back of the class. And then 2 months later, I found out the reason was that they went to his, whoa.
No, it's fine.
Kitchen frying things.
It's our staticky TV.
yeah, he was there to interview him. And
Quest was interviewing...
Cornell West, yeah.
Quest was interviewing West?
West, yeah. They went up to his office afterward, apparently.
Really? What was he interviewing him for?
It was I can't remember the publication, but I read it on... I think it got shared by a lot of different outlets, but it was...
Wow, I want to
read
this.
It was really cool, yeah. And it, like, a really interesting... They talk about music, like, protest music, and they talk, like, the lack thereof right now, at this really interesting moment. It's a really, really good interview.
Awesome.
Yeah. I think it was for interview, maybe, originally.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, yeah.
Anyway.
Cameron.
This is not recent stuff at all, but in my normal fashion of getting on the train way later than everybody else, I read the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series.
Oh, from, like, the Millennium series from start to finish?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I've never, like, binge-read anything, but it was just one of those books it's cliche, but you can't put it down.
Yeah.
It's a dumb book. The whole thing is... I feel like it has doesn't really have much to say about anything.
Okay.
But it's a good read.
And that, you know? I mean, it's probably in the same way that the Hunger Games series or, right. You know, I mean.
Well, I guess the Hunger Games, you could be like, oh, well, it's about.
No. I didn't walk away from that series with, I know what it wanted to say, but I don't think it accomplished it. And I wonder if the Millennium Trilogy is the same way.
Wait, are we talking about the same thing?
Yeah, the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series is called Millennium.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well. Yeah, so there's that.
That it? Yeah.
Millennium. Why would it be called that?
I don't know. Because he wrote it then? Then he died.
Yeah, he did die.
Who dies right before
you think they'll ever do another movie? I know it's kind of off.
I think they won't. I'd love for them to, but
I love that adaptation, the American adaptation. I haven't seen the Swedish
I tried to version. Watch the... I've heard it's awesome, but I watched like 10 minutes of the Swedish one, and I was like, nope.
Nope.
It was not working for me.
I actually agree with that, which makes me unpopular.
Really?
It seemed really cheap. Like,
it was for television, wasn't it?
It was a TV. It looked like bad TV.
The thing Swedish friends of mine tell me is that the American one is just like... how we perceive them to be, like they're all beautiful and badass,
right?
And it's really sleek,
but I mean that's Fincher, like, you know. I mean, that's kind of,
but it's great. It's so
right.
Good.
Yeah, no, I won't disagree with that. Moving on, television.
Woo.
Do you watch a lot of TV this year? I watch one thing that I'm like yes, and one thing that I was like no.
Not a lot. What I was saying before we started was that I recognize that Gotham and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are pretty good,
right.
But I'm still not watching them.
like,
I've seen little bits, and I'll be like, oh, that looks good, but I never...
I watched the first half of season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I liked it, but it's one of those things, not enough for it to keep me...
Have you watched any of season two?
No.
From what I hear, the consensus is that it gets better.
Yeah, I mean, I read the synopsis, like the just where the series has gone, and I think it's interesting. But yeah, Gotham I like quite a bit. I don't know how they can sustain it for much longer, past like two seasons. If they don't bring Batman as a character, like they need to skip ahead. And I know that they said at the end of the series, you know, he puts on the cape and cowl for the first time, and that's the end of the series. I think it's a much more interesting show if after, like, three seasons they make it a Batman show. They won't. DC won't do that. They won't have a Batman television show, like a live action.
Yeah.
But, because you get a run out of villains at some point.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing about Batman is there is no blank without Batman. There is no blank without Batman. You know, like, Penguin, okay, that makes sense, and what they're doing with Penguin is really cool. But at a certain point, yeah, it's just going to get...
Penguin looks like a singer in like a 2004 emo band.
And he kind of acts like it sometimes.
I'm with that.
Right, that works.
That's my aesthetic.
Right, I don't hate the show. I think it's pretty good. I love the. I mean, love Donald Logue. The guy playing Gordon is great, and the supporting cast is great. But I don't think it can be sustained forever, or much past like two or three seasons. The best TV I watched this year, I think probably the same as last year, was Hannibal.
Yeah.
Hannibal is a little show that could, and it got greenlit for a third season, and it ended on the most heart-wrenching, just, it was hard to watch, but it is the best, most, like, it's the most visually appealing show. It's the storytelling is incredible, what they're doing with the mythology, they're kind of, it's not canonical as much as, like, I mean, it doesn't stay exactly with the books, but they introduced Mason Verger this year, and just the makeup, and I mean, just everything about it. I adore every moment of that show. So, and American Horror Story has been pretty good this year. I don't dislike it. I don't know where it's going to end up, but...
On a much less serious TV note, New Girl is funny again. I don't know if y'all are into it, but it got really bad, and it's rebounded.
Oh, so, cool.
Good news.
Aubrey watches it. I don't really care for it. But I won't, like, I can't accurately judge it because I don't watch it. You know what I mean? The few episodes I've seen, I haven't dug. The show that I thought was really bad, and I don't even know if it got greenlit for a second season or anything about it, Blackish is terrible television. I think it's offensive. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much of that I can speak to, but I think it's really awful.
I haven't seen it. I mean, I've seen ads for it everywhere, and I've been thinking, like, oh, really? Like,
it's
really. But you know who really likes it in my life?
Who's that?
Broderick.
Okay.
My buddy Broderick loves it.
And really?
If there's anybody whose opinion I care about in such areas, it's his. And yeah, so I really feel like I want to see it, actually.
Yeah, I'd be curious. I mean, I really would like to read more people's opinions, because I think it's pretty split, but I'm not 100% on it. So
I like halfway watched an episode because they were on, but I was doing something.
Yeah.
It reminded, just the tone of it reminded me of like that Lost Dave Chappelle sketch about the, like, Dave's on the airplane, and they offer him chicken or fish, and he thinks he shouldn't choose chicken because he's black, and that's what they expect him to do.
Yeah, that's kind of how the show unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that pilot episode anyway, and I've watched, like, two episodes since, and I don't know. I mean, I think it's offensive, but who can say? Not me. best thing for it, really. bad TV, good TV? Either?
Well, it's Reaching Back. I mean, not that I have to really say it, but Reaching Back, season 2 of House of Cards was
in
February.
Yep.
That was my Valentine's Day this year. And it was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It was really
The third season, I think, goes online. It's later. It's in February, but it's 20-something.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get psyched up for it, because it's a show that affects you.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about that. But yeah, that was this year, amazingly.
Right.
Way back.
Yeah, that's, you wouldn't think. Mm-hmm. Like, Ash, anything?
I'm so far behind in TV.
Yeah.
I literally finished Breaking Bad, like, a year to the day that the finale aired.
Oh, wow.
It took me a whole year to get caught up on that, so yeah.
So you finished that this year.
Yeah, and oh my god.
Yeah.
That's well, why I was I there when
we watched the finale together, didn't we?
Mm-mm.
No? Maybe
no,
I watched... I remember, oh, we rewatched it, too.
Yeah,
like,
no,
all the housemates.
Because I was laying in my bed watching it on my laptop, and it ended, and I just kind of rolled over and laid there for, like, 10 minutes trying to process everything.
Right.
My feelings. I didn't know what I was
all
feeling.
All of the feels.
Once Upon a Time continues to be hot garbage.
Just, I don't get the appeal, man.
It's so stupid.
I watched most of the first season, I was just like, done!
It's painful.
With
and
it
stupid.
Forever. Fuck ugh. That. Now they got Frozen, which, what a hot property to have. You look ill. Let's move on. We're in movies.
Yeah, this is gonna be the meat
of it.
There's the most anticipated TV for me, though.
What?
Better Call Saul.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
So with the first trailer, they revealed that one of my favorite actors, even though I've really only seen him in one thing, but I thought his performance was one of the best ever, Patrick Fabian, who was in The Last Exorcism, the first one, he's going to be in it as like a competing attorney, and I just could not be happier about that. I think that dude is mega talented. Yeah, absolutely. Better Call Saul, Hannibal Season 3. The Goldbergs continues to be incredible.
Yes, just the Goldbergs is...
so funny.
Really good.
And heartfelt. Every episode is just like an emotional journey. Because it's... I think for us, it's probably... like, that's...
If you pushed it 10 years later, it, like, hits my nostalgia button even though I didn't grow up then.
Right, but it's still the things that we had and the things that we have experienced. I mean, even though we experienced them a little bit later, it's still the... like, I had a power glove. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
you had a power glove?
Yeah,
cool.
Bad. Yeah. Everything about it. I mean, the Goonies episode. You know, like it's all stuff that is still like, okay, I did that. You know.
And what's the mom's Wendy? She's in Reno 911.
Yeah,
Wendy something Covey. I can't remember her name.
She's incredible.
Despite the fact that I can't remember her entire name, she's a national treasure.
Yep. Everyone on the show is great. Jeff Garland as the dad is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, and the kids are pretty good too.
The lead kid is especially.
Yeah, he's retardedly good. Like, that's how good he is. I have to make a really awkward way of saying he's good.
Moving on. Before we get into best and worst, let's talk about biggest surprises and disappointments. Cameron, I want you to kick off surprises and disappointments.
Biggest disappointment for me, maybe just because it's so fresh on my mind, Gojira. Godzilla, the best part of the movie was the first trailer they put out. The Halo jump, that is by far the most interesting part of the movie.
Okay, before we talk about anything else, and this wasn't what I meant to do this one, but we didn't, best trailer of the year. And it doesn't even have to be for something that's come out yet. Best trailer that has come out this year. Godzilla's up there.
I would say I could say Godzilla and mean it.
Yeah.
Like, I was...
that trailer was incredible. We were all convinced it was going to be an incredible movie.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
What is yours?
The Guardians of the Galaxy one.
Yeah?
The one with John C. Reilly, like, talking, like, listing them off or whatever?
The earliest one...
okay.
Where there's actually not a lot of information, but they introduce, like, how the soundtrack stuff is going to be, and you're just like,
Yep. That's a good one. Ashley?
I can only think of one recent, Inherent Vice.
Oh, really?
I'm really excited about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Star Wars, Jurassic Park. Yeah, I think Jurassic probably Park. The one that has got me the most hype, though, Mad Max.
Oh, yeah.
Fury Road.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Fury Road. Furry Road. Fury Road just looks... I mean, if that's not a good movie, I'll eat my shoe.
Old-fashioned. I'll eat my shoe!
I'll pull a Herzog and I will eat my shoe. Because I don't see... I mean, all the early reviews say it's really good. Yeah, I mean, just everything about that. And the new trailer is just so bombastic and over the top. Mm-hmm. And just... I adore it. And I'm not, like, I like Beyond Thunderdome. I don't even really recall the other ones as much, but this one, you know, I think it looks great. So, disappointments. But why? Why is Godzilla topping out your disappointments?
I think, well, I'm measuring it up against the greatest movie ever made, Pacific Rim, so it's not helping. No, but really, it fails in all the places that movie succeeds in, like...
okay.
In droves. Because there's, I think it's twice, something crazy is about to happen with Godzilla, like something big.
Yeah.
And they cut to news footage of it and the human story.
Oh, wow.
Twice they do this.
Oh, wow.
To make it even worse, we watch the special features because we usually watch them regardless of whether we actually like the movie.
Right.
And the dude, the director, basically was like patting himself on the back, being proud of the fact that he took us out of the action. Now, I could forgive that if when we finally got some action at the end, which is only 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, when we finally get that, if it was awesome, but it isn't. It's like just a few couple good moments, but then it's mostly just Godzilla being beat up on by these two monsters.
Okay, do you think that, I mean, because they've announced three huge monsters for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this was kind of setting up for that?
It spent a lot of time, as you might have guessed by the later trailers, it spent a lot of time with the human characters.
Yeah.
Who weren't interesting in any way.
Right.
I'm fine with human drama. I mean, I watch...
But you want to see a Godzilla movie.
I mean, yes, but see... or I need compelling human characters.
Right.
Like, you can't just give me, you know, the typical white people.
Right.
In the typical white people situation. Like, I have to save my family or sure. whatever and expect me to be interested. Another really killer moment in a bad way, killer... in the special, kill me moment. In the special features is when he was like, we didn't want this to be a typical cheesy Hollywood movie. And at that moment, they show a clip of the hero holding a picture of his family, like, longingly. And I'm like, how does it get more typical Hollywood?
Sure. Yeah.
It just seemed like a bunch of Roland Emmerich bullshit.
Right.
Essentially.
Right.
So.
Well, that sucks. Surprises, though. What were you surprised by? Anything?
You may need to come back to me on that. I know there's one, but I gotta think of it.
Alright. Ashley, disappointments? Not worst. Anything you expected was gonna be good? Because we'll get to worst.
Disappointments. You may have to come back to me.
Alright. Surprises? Anything? I've got several that I was really surprised by. And disappointed.
Well, I was disappointed that people were upset that there is a possibility of female Ghostbusters.
In terms of movies and pop culture,
In terms of...
I am disappointed in people.
Being disappointed in people?
Yeah.
Yes, like, that's I was surprised that that's, you know, that they're planning on doing that, right. but... And delighted by it, but then disappointed that people were upset by it.
Yeah. That's a good reason to be disappointed. In people. Spencer? Any disappointments?
No, go ahead.
Film-wise, because both... Yeah. I have a couple of... Well, no, honestly, you know what I did this year?
What's that?
I steered away from things that I thought might disappoint me. Okay. Which is why I still haven't seen the Dumb and Dumber
sequel.
Just because I don't think I can do it to
myself.
Last
night I said to Spencer, you want to watch the Dumb and Dumber 2? He said, you know what? I just don't want to be disappointed.
I've heard few opinions on it, but that's the consensus is that it is.
The fact that it was such a mixed response, I just can't.
Yeah,
I'm happier to not see those new Star Wars movies, you know? it's just not worth it.
Right.
I was telling you earlier that my expectations for Big Hero 6 were kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. The original trailer, I was excited. I was like, this looks funny. I like the animation and stuff. Then the first, like, review trailer come out where it was like, you know, outstanding. And the name below it was so tiny it was illegible. Right. And you're like, that's not good.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I guess it's going to suck. Oh, well. But Stephanie really wanted... My wife really wanted to see it. And so we went, and I was... And maybe I liked it because I wasn't expecting much out of it, right. But that was the case. It was really... The villain was really cool. It was really well animated. Cool story. Cool everything. I really liked it.
Awesome.
I have two non-film related surprises.
Okay.
I might share with you. So one is, I would like to ask you that question.
Okay.
Have you come around to any music this year that you didn't think you would?
Like brand new?
Yeah.
The band brand new?
My first thought was Taylor Swift.
For you?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't hate that album. Because, I mean, it was everywhere. I couldn't help it.
Couldn't see it. It
was good. I mean, really, the Mark Ronson thing, I mean, I really didn't expect that's not my speed at all.
Yeah.
But that song, for whatever reason. St. Vincent.
Okay.
St. Vincent was, like, pleasantly surprising. Mm. And just everything that St. Vincent is doing with David Byrne just fills me with such joy. Because of two people. Like, that's a perfect collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what about you? Surprising?
Mine is... So, I just... and this weird to me even to say that I had such an issue with it. Like, I just could not get the Sam Smith thing.
Okay.
For a long time.
Sure.
Like, I just could, I was like, what's good about this? I thought he was kind of like shrieky.
Right.
And I just didn't get, you know, and everybody was talking about him as like the male Adele and everything, which I actually don't think is, like, you don't want someone to say that about you, right? Like, yeah, it's just setting yourself up to, yeah, anyway, well, I have
plus come, it doesn't flow, male Adele.
Mel Adele. But I've come around to it. I have, yeah, and I realized this sitting at my computer at my office the other day. I was like, oh.
This happened.
I didn't change that song when it came on. Oops. Mm-hmm. So, I have, I have the capacity to change.
Right. What else? You said there were two.
Well, this is, okay, you knew this, okay, and I've been saying this to a lot of people, but I'll say it. This was the year, this is a big deal for me. This was the year that I came around to Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, yeah.
I hated that movie for so long.
Really? Because of Michael Cera.
Yeah, because I hate Michael Cera. But, like, I don't know what changed, but I really love that movie now. Like, I've watched it, it's like a comfort movie. Like, yeah. I've watched it 3 or 4 times since I moved to New York, so.
That's one that I will turn on. I mean, I love that movie, but I'll turn it on with the commentary, or I'll turn on the making of documentary.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, everything about, well, it's Edgar Wright, so.
Bread makes you fat?
Bread makes you fat, yeah. I mean, just, there's so many. It's, oh, speaking of, so we're kind of jumping around, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Books.
Check them out.
Check out them books. Brian Lee O'Malley's newest book is called Seconds, and it is absolutely, as a follow-up to Scott Pilgrim, that has nothing to, like, it's so different in tone, but it's a lot about the decisions we make and how they affect us, and if we could take it back, what would we do? That book is fucking incredible. Like, I pray that no one options that for a film. That is, like, my, I read it and I was like, well, I have to make this someday. I adored it. I adored every fucking page of that book. Scott Pilgrim. All right.
That's the one.
My disappointments, and one that you and I can agree on, The Raid 2 was insanely disappointing.
Yes, too much to live up to is
and just
part of the
so
reason,
bloated.
But, yeah.
They could have, I mean, it's 2 hours, 2.5 hours?
Yeah, it's classic sophomore slump.
Yeah, they could have lost 30 minutes out of that movie, leaned out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The story is so generic, and they just try to...
It's generic.
Generic. Yeah, really disappointed. I like a lot of the action, but by the end of it, I was like, so fucking what? Like, who cares?
Yeah. It kind of suffers from the same stuff that the Godzilla movie does, and just thinking, assuming you're going to be interested
right.
in that kind of stuff, and assuming the story needs it.
Right.
You know? It's, yeah.
That was probably the biggest disappointment of the year. Stuff that surprised me? The Purge 2. I fucking hated the first Purge movie. I have said this time and time again how much I hated it. The second one goes down to street level, though, with, like, normal people experiencing the Purge. It is not a great movie by any stretch of the imagination, but a fun fucking popcorn flick that, you know, delivers the message a lot better and just has... The tension is just incredible. I felt like I didn't give a fuck about the rich people in their ivory fucking towers. I cared about street level people. I mean... It was great. I loved it. The Guest, which same guys who did Your Next, and as people, listeners of the show know, I fucking hated Your Next. The Guest is incredible. They describe it as the Terminator meets Halloween. Perfect description. I won't say any more than that because it will do it a disservice. And Nightcrawler, the Jake Gyllenhaal movie.
I heard a lot of good things.
Well, I didn't think I would like it. I mean, you know, I don't have anything against Jake Gyllenhaal. I just didn't think it was my speed, and I adored it. I thought it would... It didn't make... I mean, if my best films of the year were like 10 or 15, it's definitely up there.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be in... It's definitely not in the top 5, but yeah, it's probably in the top 10. It was really great. So, Cameron, let's kick off worst movies of the year.
Jeez. Well, I guess... I mean, I obviously you hated it way more than I did, but... We should at least mention Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, I mean, that's on my list big time.
just...
Spencer's just shaking his head. Why are you shaking your head?
Oh, no, I don't have anything to say.
Did either of you guys see
it? No.
I just, again...
I avoided those
exactly,
things.
Avoiding but, disappointment. Yeah.
See, but
avoiding
we
disappointment.
Saw it...
For science.
For science, for the podcast. So it was just one of those things, I would have never seen that movie. Ever. Ever. Like, I would never have watched it if not for the podcast.
Okay, here's... It disappointed me, but not for the reasons you might think. It disappointed me because... Again, I really wanted all the naysayers to eat crow, essentially, because they were all judging a movie that hadn't come out yet and basing it on things that ultimately don't determine the quality of a movie, like, you know, the backstory or this or that, or changing this thing or the design or whatever. So I really wanted people to be like, I guess it was okay. But even I couldn't. I wouldn't say even I mean, but you couldn't watch the movie and honestly go, yeah, it was great, or even it was good. It was insanely mediocre, like just across the board.
And I will say that it was beyond that. It was really bad. It was atrocious. The more I've thought about it, like, the angrier I've gotten about it. And I've stopped, like, posting, you know, big fucking scathing things. I don't care to do that anymore. I don't care to give it any fuel. but it was just bad. It just was just not a fun experience. And that's the biggest thing. I mean, there were so many movies this year that I really had a fun time watching and that were really a fun experience. The movies on my worst list are, there was nothing fun about them. Like, they were just, they just beat you over the head.
Yeah.
That movie, every movie that's on my worst list was done to me. You know, it wasn't, I didn't get to experience it. I was made to experience it. Anything else on your worst list?
I'm sure there are some that I'm not thinking of.
Okay. Nothing, Ash?
Man, nothing is coming to mind. Like,
no?
Maybe I just block that stuff out, push it out.
Spencer, you mentioned, you know, not having, I mean, avoided a lot of stuff, but did you see anything that was like,
do you wish you avoided?
Sucked?
Well, so, when I was thinking about this, I actually didn't know how to categorize it, but I did have this experience with a movie that I'll share with you.
Okay.
So I saw Her on a flight from, it was like a long haul from Johannesburg to London.
Okay.
And in the middle of the night, I turned it on because I couldn't sleep. And I'd seen the trailers and I thought, oh, that's probably, you know,
sure,
I'll see it. Whatever, right. Arcade Fire does the music, whatever, I'll see it. It just hurt me. I think it broke up with me or something. Like, it was like, I was just on this flight, just sobbing.
Yeah.
Like, the world had ended, and, like, I, you know...
But you and I have kind of talked about this. You didn't walk away from it with anything.
No.
I did.
Okay. Well, good.
But I think that's interesting. There's something to be said for that.
Yeah. I want to believe that it's that kind of movie. But
do you think you'll ever revisit it to see if that's true?
You know, I hope that I will.
Not anytime soon.
Not soon, though. Yeah, I just walked, like, I was like, what? Like, I'm just, it's like my grandmother died or something. Like, it was really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But maybe that makes it the best movie, or a best movie.
Yeah.
How much it, like,
affected you.
Fucking affected me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That, it's almost like one of those movies, I don't want to say that's beyond criticism, but it's kind of like, it's so unique to itself that it's hard to say it's good or bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I felt. Like, it was like one of the most intensely melancholy movies I've ever seen. And I just, the last time I felt like that was after reading Flowers for Algernon. Just, it had stuff about it, about, you know, consciousness and all that kind of stuff. And it was really interesting, but really, like, affecting. Yeah,
you know? I think I found myself sobbing during, like really, really sobbing during more movies over the last year than Her was one of them. Blue Ruin affected me.
Well, should we go ahead and...
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
talk about Blue Ruin.
Well, no. I've got some worse that I need to get off my chest.
Okay.
Odd Thomas was a horrible turd, and I wanted to like it because that's one of the few Dean Koontz books I think is any good. What an abomination of modern cinema! My lord, The Houses October Built was really bad. Willow Creek. Here's one that bothers me because I love Bobcat Goldthwait. I think his movies are really fantastic. World's Greatest Dad is. And probably my top films of all time. this was the most generic. Just it was a found footage Bigfoot movie, and it's 60 minutes to lead up to 17 minutes of just. It's the last 17 minutes, or the last 10 minutes, maybe 12, are just two people in a tent, hearing things and things kind of hitting their tent, and then at sunup they decide to make a run for it, and then from sunup to sundown is told in 3 or 4 minutes. So the pacing of that last 17 minutes of the movie completely ruins the experience. And then when you find out what is actually out there with them, it was just a what? That, like, what? So just really disappointing. And Tammy. Tammy was just so bad. And I loved The Heat. I thought Melissa McCarthy was great in that. But as a singular lead, and I don't even know like that it's her fault. I mean,
it looks like it was just a terrible. I mean,
the I'm script just meanders. This, I mean, it doesn't just really
look like bad writing.
It is. It's really poorly written, and I think she did the best with what she had.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, like Susan Sarandon's in it, Kathy Bates is in it, Sandra Oh, Dan Aykroyd.
Really?
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of star power in it, and it's just so bad.
Mm.
Toni Collette's in it. I mean, it's really, really, really bad. Sad to say, not a good movie. There's a few other on my worst, but those are the ones that I just felt, like, offended by. Cameron, kick off our best.
Let's see. We'll save that. Let's go and talk about Blue Ruin, because I've seen that fairly
recently. That's my favorite movie of the year. Yeah. I mean, there's still a few. Yeah, I mean, that's the hardest part about doing these. There's probably 10 or 12 movies that I still really want to see.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Birdman's going to be on this list.
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, there's a lot that I just missed.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll update. But right now, Blue Ruin was the movie that just really did everything right for me. And for it to be such a small independent film, and as much fun as I had during Guardians of the Galaxy, I was so moved in a way that, you know, film can move somebody.
Mm.
I mean, it's just such a beautiful, wonderful, you know, piece of cinema. I just absolutely love that movie from start to finish.
Have you all seen it?
Yes.
You haven't seen
it? I actually haven't still. I pulled it out of your Blu-ray player earlier and thought, oh, shit.
Oh, really?
I should have seen that before we do this.
The headline of my review was Feel Good Hit of the Year.
That was funny.
And
Jeremy and Macon both like that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Or at least whoever runs, I think it was their Twitter page, but I think one of them liked it by themselves as
okay,
well.
Okay, well, that
the director
warmed,
and the star, that which warms is really my heart. Funny to me.
I remember texting you or something while I was watching it, or maybe after, saying that it really reminded me of No Country for Old Men, which, of course, I love. And
well, it plays with expectations.
Yeah, but it had that message about not there not being such a thing as, you know, doing something like that and a clean getaway, so to speak. Like,
and there was, to speak more to that, there's never is the moral gray area of just,
yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, well, what is right? Who deserves what? You know?
Yeah, and that's what the main character had to deal with.
Yeah,
yeah.
More to the fact, like I got the Blu-ray for Christmas, and just like the behind the scenes and how they made the movie and you know, just to hear them talk about the process is, it's not any different from any of us, you know. I mean, we make films and mm-hmm. it's the same, you know. And to see, well, anybody can have that film that means a lot and do something, you know, big with it like they have. And now Jeremy has gone on to, you know, that his next film has got Patrick Stewart in it. And,
yeah.
It's been incredible. I mean, just an incredible journey and really humble dudes who will interact with you and, you know, want to talk about the film and just, I mean, that's incredible. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
So Blue Ruin for me, that's up there. Top of the list. How about y'all? Because there's a few other ones that I've got, but
I mean, we just watched Skeleton Twins last night, that was, so that's fresh
that
on
was
my
really
mind.
Good. Yeah,
and yeah, that It's another one of those. This was the year of melancholy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and just that beautiful melancholy. Yeah.
That one's probably, that one may be in my top 10 of the year. It was really good, and I had tears a few times.
I mean, Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig in that, though, like, they... They just were a great team.
It was originally supposed to be Anna Faris.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And the project was, taking too long. At least what I read on IMDb, she was attached for a really long time, and then she dropped out, and Kristen Wiig joined the cast.
I just can't imagine her.
Did Stefan make an appearance? Well,
not as such.
Maybe a few years later.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, when he's kind of chilled out and figured it out a little bit.
Gotcha.
Or things got really depressing for Stefan.
He stopped going to the club. No!
Kevin! One of my favorite clubs. Yeah, that was a good one. Anything else on your list?
St. Vincent.
Okay, I missed that one.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to redeem Melissa McCarthy for you.
Good, yeah.
I mean, it is a more serious role, but... Yeah, you know, it tugs at your heartstrings a whole lot. Yeah. I cried. I saw it by myself in a theater, just completely the theater alone. So I was just like,
"Were you the only person in the theater?"
Yeah,
that's the best.
It was awesome.
You could just freely just
not with a lady coming down the aisle trying to serve me a drink.
Yes. It was perfect.
Red wine.
And just like the end credits. You know, Bill Murray just being Bill Murray.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that just kind of picks you up again.
Spencer?
I got two that I'll mention. One, which is another one of these, like, surprisingly it was 2014, but so Grand Budapest Hotel was...
Which yeah, that's was, making all the best of lists, and I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah, it was really early on, but still. You know, And I will say this happens enough with me that it's, like, just a pattern. I should just recognize it. But I didn't enjoy it necessarily the first time I saw it.
Okay.
Saw it in the theater, went to Atlanta to see it, and I was just kind of like, okay.
Okay, Wes Anderson.
Like I feel like Spencer said was like, okay, Wes
Yeah,
Anderson.
But it was not even, like, in a, you know, because I can go there with him for the most part, but I don't know. It was, for whatever reason, I thought it was racist, kind of, which it, you can always make whatever, but I... Whatever. But then I watched it again a couple of times in the summer.
You and I
and
watched
thought
it together.
Was the time we watched it together. It was the funniest that I thought it was.
And that was the first time I watched it, and I
and how dark it is.
Yeah, I was surprised by the darkness, and as somebody who is, I mean, kind of thought that about Wes Anderson, was like, okay, I saw the trailers and I was like, here we go. But no, I mean, I enjoyed it, but it's just like I enjoy most of his stuff, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
So. Yeah, that's definitely up there. What's the other one for you?
Well, you still haven't seen it, right? Boyhood?
No.
Has anybody at this table seen Boyhood?
No,
I would like to.
Okay, so, yeah. You know, he's a little younger than me, this person, but it just hits just so close to home.
Right.
And every single year that they do of his life, especially towards, you know... Through the teen years and stuff, it's like, woo.
Just on a technical level, I have a major interest in it.
I mean, like, how is that not being... It's talked about, but I feel like, why is it not being, like, really just rallied for? Like, that's incredible.
Yeah.
The fact that they, every year, you know what I mean? Like, every year they're able to get back together and do this is just, I mean, it's incredible.
And the guy, the lead, he talks about... I've seen him talk about, like, you know, it's been this kind of just... Not weird, but just kind of, it's like a little reunion kind of every year to get together for the week and a half that they shoot for the last 12 insane. Years or whatever. Wow. And
week and a half over 12 years. It's so nuts.
And you know, maybe talk to Linklater on the phone a couple of times.
Yeah.
Maybe at the holidays, whatever, you know, but just kind of being this weird, steady thing.
I can't, I'm sure that will be on my top when I see it. Like, I don't see how it couldn't be.
And I'll mention, too, it's not just... It's... Well, yeah, throwing Sharpies at people. It's not just the main character that they follow. Like, the way they portray the mom, who is kind of this struggling young mother who goes through a series of kind of terrible relationships through the movie, but is also kind of getting her life together, trying to go to school and having all these terrible haircuts, and and then, like, when he graduates, kind of how she deals with, like, being an empty nester for the, like, it's just...
Patricia Arquette playing the mother?
I believe that's right.
Okay.
I'm bad with names.
That's okay.
yeah, it's just really good. The whole, like, there's not one bad thing I could say about it.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's my movie of the year.
Other than it took 12 years to make. Jeez.
Christ.
Apocalypse Win.
Do you have any more on your top?
Dude, Guardians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, bar none. Like, yeah. Guardians.
I mean...
Yes.
Where to begin? We already dedicated about 20 minutes to half an hour of this podcast about Guardians, but I was just saying I watched it again... a couple days ago, doesn't lose any of its magic, nope. Any of its effect. In that sense, again, it's like the greatest movie ever made, Pacific Rim. And no, it plays at home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it wasn't.
I mean, that's important.
It wasn't
especially
just about
when a movie that big.
Yeah, it wasn't just about enjoying it with, you know, 50 or so other people and with all the big speakers and everything. You can watch it at home and it's still got the magic.
We saw in the same theater, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
I remember you had to sit in the very front row, didn't you?
Yeah, and that didn't diminish my enjoyment of that film, which sometimes that would, depending on the film. If I had saw Ninja Turtles, I probably would have walked out. But yeah, I mean, I just like staring straight up at the screen for an hour and a half. It was one of those rare moments I've had in the theater where my face hurt when I left because I smiled from start to finish.
Yeah.
And almost, like, I was with a lot of people, and I had to not cry and just... This was, like, the beginning.
Yeah.
Fuck you, James Gunn, you son of a bitch. And then the end, I mean, the Groot stuff at the end, you know, like, all that is just so cutesy and wonderful. And talk about a filmmaker who still is so appreciative of his fans and the opportunities he's been given. I mean, James Gunn, he's my patron saint.
Also, I think it's interesting, and I might talk about The Hobbit a little bit just because it's concluded now, but the guy who is like the elf king in The Hobbit and also one of the evil senators in Lincoln, which is another really cool movie. I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but anyway, yeah, he's Ronan.
He's good. I thought Ronan was great. I thought Thanos was great, even though it's a very small part. The Collector. I mean, I love all the little quirky things. I went into it having just read the full series, like the new series. I read some of the old books. Loved it. Good. I mean, you know, just like it's an origin story. I think it does, you know, what it sets out to do. You know, there have been criticisms about how it handles Gamora and Nebula and, you know, the female characters. And I understand a lot of that. And I feel like that is something that they will address in the second one, but I really enjoyed it so much. Other best movies, Cheap Thrills. I loved The Babadook. This is kind of universally liked. I mean, there are people obviously who don't like it, who don't think it's scary. I think it, for my money, it is one of the scariest movies I've seen in years.
Still haven't seen it. I want to.
Yeah, you definitely need to. And then another horror movie that kind of came out of nowhere and really surprised me is called Starry Eyes. And it was just... It's like Rosemary's Baby and like an indie, like, you know, indie Rosemary's Baby exorcist slasher. I mean, it's just so... It defies, you know, a lot of things. And the last 10 minutes are just breathtaking. Yeah, I'm really enamored with that movie. I can't wait for that one to come out so I can actually own it and see all the behind the scenes and listen to how they did it. So to wrap up, let's talk about what we're looking forward to, Cameron. Anything. What are you looking forward
to
next year?
I mean, yeah, it's hard not to, I'm so hesitantly excited, but Star Wars.
Guarded. Yeah, Star Wars I'm guarded about, but man, just that 1.5-minute trailer, I'm
guarding my heart. My little nerd heart, but
I think Abrams has nailed it. I mean, it's a minute. I don't know. All right, to prove how like dedicated I am to this movie, I've stayed away from every behind the scenes picture. I've stayed away from every spoiler, every, you know, like concept art. I have seen the trailer and that's it. You know, like I don't want to know anything about this movie besides the trailers.
I'm kind of there with you.
Yeah. What else? What are you guys looking forward to?
Jurassic Park.
Yeah? Chris Pratt's Raptor Army. Chris Pratt's Raptor Army and the Cuttlefish Dinosaur. I did play bass for them.
Yeah, I was.
And I'm.
Depends on what kind of dinosaur they cooked up in the lab.
I mean, it's schmaltzy. It's cheesy. I think it's going to be a great fun, but we'll see. What else, Spence?
I'm very excited about Star Wars.
Yeah,
I had that experience. I actually hadn't. There's a podcast. This podcast, in fact, right after you had seen it, and your reaction, I had had the same reaction shortly before listening to that podcast, which was when the Millennium Falcon flies over.
It was I rose to my fucking
chills all over. Like it surprised me. You know, like it was weird how excited I got.
it genuinely surprised me.
Just like ah.
There was nothing put on about my reaction. Yeah. Like, I was just like, yes!
So that's, yeah, I mean, that's way up there.
Spectre.
Yeah, man.
Man, that new Bond.
Well.
Holy shit.
Uh-huh.
It's got a lot to live up to.
It does, but already it's doing the right thing, I think. Yeah. Mendez is back. We got Christoph Waltz, Moriarty from the new Sherlock series. I mean, and it's Spectre. I mean, yeah, fuck.
I'm not even guarded about that one. I think I'm just going to love it.
Yeah.
So.
Let's see. Mad Max, already talked a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be, like, the best year. I'm even kind of looking forward to the new Terminator. I don't even think that looks bad. I mean it's probably going
to
be
in contrast to Star Wars, I watched it and felt nothing. Like, I didn't even know.
I thought it was interesting. What they're doing, I think, is interesting. Mm-hmm. I like that Arnold's back, even though he's terrible. you know, I don't know. It could be a lot of fun. Get out of here! yelling at cats. Made this wonderful loop. That was great. Like out of a movie. There's a Room comic book coming out that I think is going to be fantastic. There's a sequel to Cronenberg's The Fly coming out, like a comic book coming out.
Interesting.
Locally, I'm excited for the new Wildfront album to finally come out.
Yeah,
we're big fans of them here,
mm-hmm.
and we should have them on the show pretty soon.
Yeah, we should.
I mean, we will. I guess is what I mean. 2015 is gonna be a great year, and I'm looking forward to making another movie with you.
Hey,
so
look at that.
More details.
Yeah, and hopefully some cool stuff happening on the show as well.
Oh, we have. We're just mortal men, but we have a lot of wonderful things coming up on the show. Hint, hint. Okay, so to close out our year for bigger show, this has been
Spencer Cantrell,
Ashley Gaskin,
Kirby Giles,
and I am Mike D. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you next year. Goodbye.
Wow.
Mike. Guests.